Counselor Professor Leela Philip. Her book is Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America. Two huge rainstorms and then a hurricane named Ida. We're now at Edwin Way Teal's sanctuary for he's a naturalist who's left us, but behind is a sanctuary for all manner of creatures, including beavers. And one day, the beaver dam that is constructed, series of beaver dams, but the big one is breached, and the floodwaters pour into the neighborhood, and the phones start ringing. And there is a solution, and we call upon Mike Callahan of Beaver Solutions. And what is the solution, Professor? What does it look like when we don't have enough beavers and we have to deal with climate change upon us?
Well, this is a really interesting example of where just the director of that local Audubon, Sarah Hemingway, was educated about beavers, and she understood their value in bringing water and biodiversity. She knew that particular spot in particular is a migratory stopover for a lot of important migratory birds. She also had been watching the water. And so when people were calling up and saying, you got to kill the beavers because this is too dangerous. I mean, it was dangerous. 9 million gallons of water came out of that breached dam, you know, overnight. The caretaker said it sounded like a train had gone through the forest. So this can happen. And instead of trapping out the beaver and breaking the dam and taking the pond apart, she called this company, Beaver Solutions, where they specialize in putting in what are called flow devices. So what they basically did, I watched them, they put a 40-foot pipe through the dam. They've figured out that if they put this pipe 40 feet out, if the inlet is 40 feet from the dam, the beavers don't stop, but try to stop it up with sticks. They put a cage around the end so the beavers, even if no animals get in, et cetera, they know exactly how to do this. So it works. They have a very, very high success rate. And I went back to look at it. It's been in 2 years now. The pond has now been maintained, even with some different storm events. The pond has been maintained at a level so that even if there is another huge storm event, like Ida, it can tolerate all that flood water coming through the Hampton Brook. It's not going to break the dam. So it's an example where a little bit of proactive management means the beavers can stay and the water can stay. And I spoke to the director of the Audubon recently, and I said, you know, how's it going? And she said, she spoke to the neighbors this past summer when we had the terrible drought, and she reminded them that the reason they had water in their wells was in part because the beavers were there and Hampton Brook area didn't dry up. We had a very severe drought last July, but that part of the brook was, you know, maintained because the beavers had so much water stored there. So, and it wasn't that expensive to do. So much more expensive than all the repair from, you know, floods.
We come home to you, Professor, to Woodstock and your observation of the beavers working in your neighborhood. I left a moment here to see what you're observing. Now that you've published this book, you have a great deal of working knowledge of how beavers work. How are they doing?
Well, you know, I keep an eye on them, and I was watching them this winter, and I was at first really alarmed when I saw that their dam had broken because it's winter, and normally, as I said, that would be fatal. They had to flee their lodge because the water in the pond went down, but because it was warm, they started building this new area in a low-lying, new pond in a low-lying area. And it's been just incredible to watch them. And, you know, 7 years ago when I first watched the beavers, it stopped me in my tracks. But now that I know everything that I know, it really gives me goosebumps because it's such an extraordinary story of resiliency and hope. I mean, what the beavers are doing, what they've done in 8+ weeks, the amount of water they've been able to impound. The local Audubon has now indicated that that is probably becoming already a migratory stopover. The amount of value that they have brought is just incredible. And I was just reading an article about carbon storage. And again, you know, we think about the Amazon rainforest as tremendously important to us because of the carbon that it stores. But we now know that wetlands store something like 10 times more carbon than the forest. So the more we learn about these wetlands, the more we need to learn how to value them and stop thinking about them as dismal swamps, you know. And I think it's just reminding me of just what an incredible story the story of the beaver is. And it's just such a story of, I guess, hope in our time. And I think we need these stories of resiliency because they're right in our own backyards. Especially here in the East, I think anyone living in the East can walk out and probably find beavers somewhere.
Oh, I wanted you to give a clues as to what to look for.
Some clues. So if you're walking and you see a swampy area, look for any glints of yellow at this point that might indicate that something is freshly chewed. Close down, that might be a pencil stub. They'll chew anything small, brush, but also they might take down a big tree. I mean, they've taken down 4 good-sized trees, enormous pencil points. So there could be that. Then you'll just see water starting to, if you see water starting to pool up in the woods, look around. Those will be the first signs. You won't see a beaver probably. You know, they're not going to come out during the day. Although I saw something really fun. We had a little skim of ice. I went out yesterday and there were all these holes in it. Like someone had thrown rocks all over the pond. You know what I realized it was? It was an otter that was popping up, just playing around, popping up through the ice. So to go back to your point about beavers and fish, it was on their original pond where they had fled, but an otter had clearly been just playing around, popping up through the ice, probably hunting.
The beavers are in their lodge now, and they haven't emerged yet from winter, or you think they've already emerged? You think the whole beaver clan is out there? We have 30 seconds.
At this point, beavers will be out swimming around because there's no ice.
Okay.
So they're coming out of torpor, so they'll be moving around for sure.
I intend to go looking for beavers. You know, I have a wetland not far from where we're speaking right now.
And there's go in the evening.
Towards sundown.
Yeah, and that's when they'll start to come out. I put up a wildlife camera. They've been coming out at 7:20 p.m. It's still dark, but pretty soon 7:20 will be light.
And I mentioned quickly, why do beavers come out at night? Because they learned as recently as Lewis and Clark that they'll get hunted during the day by these rascals, the colonials. Leela Philip, she's the author of Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.